kids, time for Sunday Mass.
We went to church at school this week. Why do we have to go again?
But Mom, I have a soccer game.
Church is boring. Why can't I just pray alone?
Giving your children a Catholic education is a great sacrifice. Yet, in the busyness of the week, we sometimes fail to give our children the greatest gift available to them, the gift of Sunday Eucharist. Jesus personally invites us to the Eucharist. It was his last gift to us before he died on the cross. Jesus is the closest to you when you receive him into your heart through Holy Communion at Mass. How can we refuse this invitation? I'm Bishop Thomas John Piprocki of the Springfield Diocese. What was the best thing that happened to you this week? Please take some time to attend Mass and thank God for all he has given to you.
Okay, welcome back. Hey, everybody. I just received a call here in the studio from Rolanda Pinkard from Meals on Wheels, a mission of Catholic Charities. Welcome, Rolanda. What's going on?
Well, hi, Dave. Thank you so much. Here's the deal with Meals on Wheels. This program has been kind of going through a growth spurt. And it started probably a year and a half ago, and it has just continued. So we've probably increased the number of clients we serve by over 50%.
Oh, my.
Yep. And, you know, that's good and bad. It's good in that it means the word is getting out there, that this program is out there to help people. But on the other side of it, it means we have a lot more meals to deliver.
Okay.
Yep. So those, right now, we deliver right around 300 meals every single day, every single weekday, all over Macon County. And
wow.
So we do deliver, you know, all the way down to Blue Mound and Macon. We have folks up in Maroa, Argenna, Harris, just all over the place in Macon County. But the point is, most of these meals are delivered in Decatur. And most of these meals are delivered by volunteers. And
okay.
that's why I'm calling you today, Dave.
Good. So we're doing 300 meals a day. We're way up. But our volunteer rate's not keeping up with the number of people requesting meals. Is that what it is?
That's pretty much what it is.
Okay. And I think you and I spoke earlier that in November and December, there's no church volunteering, as normally once a month there's a church or once a day, however that works. We have churches that send groups that volunteer. So we are making a plea this morning for volunteers to help deliver Macon County's Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, we have, we divide these meals up into different routes. So every single day I have 21 routes that go out and deliver meals in town. And we make sure for our volunteers that each and every one of those routes is deliverable in under an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even got a few routes that take closer to half an hour. So the time commitment isn't very much to help deliver these meals. We have folks that help us just once in a blue moon. Some help us once or twice a month. We're super flexible with how people want to help us. During this you know, as we start to head into the colder months and into the Christmas season specifically, I mean, as far as churches are concerned, people are really busy with programs and things at church. And we know that, you know, that's a commitment that that people want to keep, need to keep, and we want to encourage that. But we do. But on the other hand, we need just a few extra folks to help us kind of fill in right now.
Well, and probably some of the snowbirds fly south.
We do. We have a lot of snowbirds that go south. They help us. On the other hand, we have our golf people. So here's my appeal to those of you who play golf. You know, there's not a whole lot happening on the links right now. Come give us a hand. My snowbirds are gone. I need my golfers to come back in.
Well, I'll help push that. Now, Rolanda, if somebody wants to get involved with Meals on Wheels, especially someone from the Catholic community, since we are a part of Catholic Charities, what should they do?
We make it super easy. So our phone number is 422-6611. And that phone number is one-stop shopping for Meals on Wheels. If you call that number, we can talk to you about volunteering. If you happen to know somebody that you think could probably benefit from having the meals, it's that same number, 422-6611. 6611. And we do. We make it super easy. And if you already do work in one of the local parishes, you've probably already done all the paperwork that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
We make it super simple for you to start volunteering.
Okay, good. All right, Rolanda, we'll keep pushing that. It's Meals on Wheels at 422-6611. Rolanda, good luck. I know I'll see you next week. And
yes.
And you've always got my number if you need a fill-in. So thanks for calling in this morning. And any of the listeners that call you, I want them to tell you they heard this on WDCR. How about that?
Sounds perfect. Dave, thank you so much. I appreciate it, bud.
All right, Rolanda, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert, and Dan's with us, and he's going to give us a preview of this Sunday's reading.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and third married her, and likewise all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Dan, the Sadducees were a sect of the Jews that did not believe in a resurrection. They thought that once life was over, it was over. They didn't believe that there was another place, a heaven. So when they're questioning Jesus, in my opinion, and of course this is all just yours and my opinion when we talk here, they didn't understand. So they were trying to trip Jesus up, saying, well, you know, if there's a heaven and this gal's been married seven times, when she goes to heaven, who's she going to be married to? So clearly Jesus tells them, look, heaven's not going to be like earth. Heaven is not going to be what you think it is, what we're living now. There will be no marriage. There will be no conflict. it's going to be a completely different, perfect world. And since they didn't believe in the resurrection, they couldn't wrap their arms around that.
Yeah, that's I probably have to read this a couple more times to fully understand all the different passages and what they mean. They say here, once you have died, you are like angels, and all of us are children of the God, and we are all alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a totally different spirit, which is kind of hard to grasp your head around,
right?
And fully comprehend and understand.
And he also makes at the end of that, he talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they're not dead. You know, that they're in this other world. And of course, during this time before Jesus had sacrificed his life to open the gates of heaven, those people were in a place that wasn't quite heaven, and it certainly wasn't hell. I guess that might be what we'd call purgatory.
Purgatory, yes.
So, and you know, the teachings on purgatory, a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ have trouble understanding why Catholics believe in purgatory. And we've discussed this on several occasions that as a police officer, before I went before a judge to give my testimony, I put on my best suit, I shined my shoes, I made sure I was clean shaven and a haircut before I presented myself to the judge, because I wanted to make the best impression I could on the judge. Now, if I were called to heaven today, I don't think I'd want to go stand before the judge of my entire life without having an opportunity to put on my best suit, to shave and comb my hair, and look as good as I can. And I think that's what purgatory gives us a chance to do, purgation, to get rid of the imperfections. Because we know in heaven, heaven is perfect, and nothing that's not perfect can get into heaven. Well, I'm not perfect. My soul's not perfect. I'm going to need a place of purgation, a place to take that shower and comb my hair and get ready to go before the judge.
And so, is that not also why we need to pray for those who have gone
absolutely
before us? It is our asking God to enter. We're trying to intervene and pray that we're letting God know how much we love and respect. We pray for their ultimate salvation into heaven.
Right. Same. And just this week, Dan, you know, we had All Saints Day, where we praise and honor all the saints that have gone before us. The everyone in heaven is a saint. Okay. All Saints Day, we kind of honor the ones that officially have been canonized. But all of our family members that have gone ahead of us have saints, are saints. The on Wednesday, we celebrated All Souls Day. And I don't even know if you call it a celebration or a remembrance, but it's a time to remember all of the faithful departed and pray for them and to pray for their souls. Now, there's no time in heaven. There is no time with God. So purgatory, you know, they used to talk about, oh, you get an indulgence, you get 100 days off your sentence in purgatory. The church today believes that purgatory, purgation, is a state, not necessarily a place. So, but our prayers can be so efficacious for the souls in purgatory. And, you know, I pray a lot for the deceased. And I also always include, please, Lord, I pray for the one soul up there that most needs my prayers, that maybe has no one to pray for them.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Because there are people going through purgation.
And most people don't think about that. You know, there's a lot of people in purgatory that was waiting in
waiting for somebody to pray for.
They need some help. Yeah. Need our charity,
yeah,
so to speak.
When I serve funeral masses, I always think about that soul that is from the body that's in front of us at the mass, and say prayers for that individual in particular. And that's really what that mass is for, the mass of sending, the mass of thanksgiving, the mass of the deceased, is to pray to God for mercy on that soul.
You know, we can also help ourselves out through the sacrament of reconciliation.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
you got that right.
That's, you know, trying to put on your best suit, your best outfit, be ready. That just kind of helps you along.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the last rites for someone dying, that again, helps prepare them.
And that's right. And, you know, the last rites, the anointing with the oil, is also forgive sin and for the remission of sin. And that's another thing that I like to discuss, is the remission of sin. Some people don't understand the remission of sin. If you've asked me not to play ball in your backyard, and I go back there and I throw a baseball through your window, okay, I've been told, don't do that. That's a sin. Don't do it. And I go to you and I say, Dan, I threw the ball through your window. I'm really sorry. And being the gracious and merciful man that you are, Dan, you say, okay, Dave, I forgive you. You know, have you learned your lesson? Don't do it again. Yeah. And I say, okay, I won't. And I walk away, right? No. I walk away with the admonition from you that, whoa, wait a minute. You got to pay for that window. Now, you've forgiven me, no doubt about that. But I still have to remit to you the $10 or $20 for the window.
Still got to do those deeds.
That's right.
And show how sincere you are. I mean, even though the Lord forgives, we still have to show him our intent.
Right. And we do that. And when we say the act of contrition, you know, it's
and you don't have to go
prayer
to the sacrament of reconciliation. That's something that we can say, the act of contrition, every day.
And
maybe
we should.
It's, maybe something we do, whether it's in the morning before we go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something we say ourselves, by ourselves, as we think about that day.
And a good act of contrition, God forgives our venial sins. Any mortal sins we may have on our souls, we still need to confess and reconcile and do penance for. But you're right, the act of contrition will relieve us of venial sin. Do you happen to have the act of contrition there in front of you?
I do.
Well, why don't you pray one for us, and we'll all pray an act of contrition, and then we'll have all of our venial sins forgiven. But you have to really mean it.
And for those, a lot of prayers we don't say every day. We can't remember. What I have here is in today's missal, and one of the things that I do before Mass, you come a little bit early, and in the very back of today's missal, you have a lot of prayers that we can say getting ready for Mass, to stay after Mass a little bit. So anyway, that's where I'm getting this from. And so the act of contrition, if all would join. Oh my God, I'm heartfully sorry for having offended you. I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because they offend you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasions of sin. Amen.
Amen. See, the
beautiful prayer.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And we're promising we're going to try to do better in that prayer.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's enough preachiness from Dan and I for today. We've talked about the gospel, the Sadducees. Listen real carefully to Father this weekend for his homily. And at least now you'll going into it, you'll have some idea of what the gospel is going to be about.
And for those who might be listening here are not Catholic and don't aren't able to come to a Sunday church, every Sunday at 5 p.m. on WDCR, we actually have a Mass you can hear on the radio.
Yeah.
And so if you want to hear the homily of the day, it's actually recorded at one of our local parishes, and we play it every Sunday at 5 p.m. So you can hear this gospel one more time, and I'd love to hear... I can't wait to hear this Sunday what Father his take.
And you know, for our non-Catholic listeners that maybe would like to see what the Mass is all about, but maybe are a little fearful of taking that step and going on, listen to it on the radio. You know, it doesn't for the Catholics, it doesn't take away the obligation of going to Mass, and mainly we do that for the shut-ins so that they can hear a local homily. Okay. We got anything for the community calendar today, Dan?
We have a few things. The one thing that I'm looking forward to is Couples Night Out. We don't do this very often, and it's going to be at the Beach House November 7th. It's just basically for couples and for fun and fellowship. There will be a short presentation, and it is open to all Decatur, area parishioners and Catholic couples. It's $30 per couple, and it does include a buffet dinner. That is at the Beach House on November 7th, Couples Night Out.
Now, Donna last week was in here and told us that it's not really a buffet dinner. It's heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Heavy hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. It's not really a meal.
She said, so maybe you want to eat your dinner before you come, but it's a good chance to fellowship and have a glass of wine and meet with other couples.
Yeah. Another item is the Decatur Deanery Council of Catholic Women. We'll meet on Thursday, November 10th at St. John's in Arcola. Registration is at 10. There will be a Mass at 10:30, followed with a meeting and lunch, and a white elephant auction. And those are always fun. I always did that for the JCs.
What's the difference in a white elephant and a pink elephant?
Well, the white elephant is a kind gift versus the black elephant.
The pink
elephant. So we have, yeah, there's a, anyway.
Okay,
so
sorry.
All women are invited. Again, it'll be Thursday, November 10th at St. John's in Arcola. And any proceeds from this will go to the Diocesan Seminary Fund. And more information regarding this can be found at the Council of Catholic Women.
Okay.
Let's see.
Not particularly. I do have to tell you that Advent by Candlelight is going to take place in early December. And that's going to be a ladies' kind of a tea, decorations for the holidays, that type of thing. It'll be at the parish house at St. James. We'll get into that more, but you might think about it. They're still planning it. When we get more on it, we'll let you know.
We do have one coming up this weekend, the 2016 Diocesan Adult Enrichment Conference, Harvesting the Fruits of Discipleship. And that's here at the Decatur Conference Center Hotel, November 4th and 5th. Keynote speaker will be the author, radio personality, and podcaster, Greg Willits. Registrations by mail or online. This is a long website or a link, so if you can have pencil and paper handy, if you want more information, you can log into it's the link dio.org/catechesis, C-A-T-E-C-H-E-S-I-S, /DAE-S-I-S. see.
Wow.
Maybe just call the radio station. We'll give this to Ann, and yeah, she can give you some more information there, too.
All right. Well, we want to hope the best for the St. Teresa Bulldogs coming up this weekend, round two of the playoff games. You know who they're playing?
Athens, at Athens.
Okay. So. And that's always an interesting game, isn't it? They've played over there before, and I remember a letter to the editor a few years ago from a family from Athens that said what a bunch of nice people the St. Teresa folks were. I really thought that was nice.
Well, it's always enjoyable when we travel, and we have the whole Catholic contingents there.
Yeah.
And we like to put on a good show.
Yeah, and hopefully it's nice that we make a good example, being good sports, and we always pray that the players will play to the best of their abilities and nobody will be injured. And
keep away from those penalties this week.
Yeah,
no penalties, guys.
No, got that right. Advent starts later this month, right, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We're going to do the Thanksgiving show from the lobby. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, please come by and say hi and tell us what you're thankful for. And next week on the show, we'll be doing a Veterans Day show with Mr. David Freiling. David's a retired U.S. Army officer and a veterans advocate in Macon County. He is kind of the go-to guy when there's something about veterans that you need to know. So what I'd like to do is close with a final prayer, Dan, and I feel like Father Simon. My computer is not going. This is a prayer for all the faithful departed in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, the Creator and Redeemer of all the faithful, grant to the souls of thy faithful servants the remission for their sins, that through pious supplications they may obtain the pardon for which they have always desired, who lives and reigns with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, world without end. May the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that's it for the Cradle and the Convert for this week. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
God bless.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.
Love is but a song we sing, fears that we will die.